want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio Program. It's Monday. And we don't get nearly as excited about that as we do Friday. But I will say this. I look forward to Mondays because it is a day when I get to take care of some administrative capabilities. And I allow that to be the day where God comes in and strengthens me. Builds me back up and gets me ready to where I can be my spiritual best throughout the rest of the week. So thank you for joining us today. You might be looking at doing some improvements around your house with the way that homes have gone up. You may have reached the conclusion that doing some upgrades to your current property are, you know, less costly than selling your house and moving someplace else. And if some of those plans involve concrete, maybe there's some business people who are listening and you've got concrete work that needs to be done. I want to tell you about the folks of Jits Concrete. Their number is 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. They've got decades and decades of experience. They have all of the tools. They have all of the manpower that they need for the job. And they will put their decades of experience to work, and it's good experience. They have the expertise. They know how to do the math, calculate the amount of materials, the time that it's going to do. They know how to do the proper preparation. They've done work here in the Space Coast for decades. They've done it in other regions as well. They have a great work ethic. And they want to get in, get the job done, and get out of the way. And I will tell you, you want that sort of attitude when it comes to a time-sensitive project. And so Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, the greatest compliment that I've ever heard from them in a business setting as a general contractor, that I said, these are the folks I want to do the concrete portion of this job. And he said, well, your concrete guy is my concrete guy. That was who he used for his projects. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, if they can be a blessing in your life. So today we're returning to Titus chapter 1. We're talking about if we're going to be spiritually effective for the kingdom of God, if we are going to be able to be used in ministry to minister to other people, that there are some elements in our life. We talked last week about elements we need to get out of our life. And then today we are going to look at the things that we need to fill that vacuum with, that the positive attributes, the positive behavior. And again, this goes back to being a steward of God. That means that God has chosen us to be a servant of his. But it also means that we recognize that he is the treasure, his resources are to be managed. And so we handle that that has been entrusted to us. We treasure it, we protect it, we treat it as highly valuable because it is. So with that mindset of treasuring his presence and being a steward of our relationship with God, there are some positive things that we can use to fill the vacuum left by ungodly behavior that we've kicked out of our lives. So, verse number 8 says this, "But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." So One of the first positive characteristics that Paul instructs Titus about is to be hospitable. And so you get such words as this. So you can get hospital out of that, where people come in and they treat you with a healing aspect to get you to the point where you are no longer sick and you are well or on the road to recovery. And so they get you in and get you out. Throughout our time at Merit Assembly of God, God has repeatedly told us, reminded us that as a spiritual hospital, there may be times when people, you know, as soon as they get well, they move on. And that's hard for a pastor's mindset. But if we realize that our job is to get people spiritually well, then we realize that there may be more hurting people to come. And at one point in time, my wife was in the hospital. They were in a hurry to get her out because they needed the bed for another patient. And it was a very eye-opening experience. But when you realize that mindset says, you know what, that person's in greater need of medical care than I am right now, it really helps put things in perspective. The another way that you see this word used in our modern language is in the hospitality industry. And that means that, hotels, restaurants, I dare say even churches, that they are supposed to be welcoming places where we treat people in a very welcoming manner. The Greek word here means that we are a practitioner of practical kindness, such as meeting basic human needs. Okay? And so at Merit Assembly of God, everyone is welcome to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone. Now, not everyone is not welcome to come and create a distraction so that people cannot hear the word of God. But everyone is welcome to come and hear the gospel. We take the gospel out. People come in and hear the gospel as well. But we want Merit Assembly of God to look a lot like heaven, where people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I've had people with sin A that was a very real and present stronghold in their life come and hear the gospel. I've had people with stronghold B come and hear the gospel. I've had people come and have all sorts of different sin issues, and we don't sugarcoat the sin. We deal with sin, but how that person chooses to respond is an entirely different question. And so we need to show kindness, and we need to help people in the area of need. As far as the word origin itself, it means that we are a friend of strangers. So our first response is not mean, angry, turn them off and reject them, but to, show kindness to them, to treat people well. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. And when they used that title, they were not giving him a compliment, even though it is. They were saying, if this guy really knew the type of people he was dealing with, he would not be dealing with those people. Well, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus knew what was going on in those people's hearts that were condemning him for being a friend of sinners. And he said, look, sick people are the ones that need doctors, not the well. And what the people didn't realize is that every person needs Jesus. Thank God he's a friend of sinners like me, so that he can redeem me, transform me, and use me for his glory. So you and I, it doesn't cost anything to treat people nicely. Okay, it just doesn't. So be hospitable. The second attribute that is described here is a lover of what is good. And it means that we are to be lovers of what is good. It is a straightforward translation. It is a straightforward meaning. We are supposed to love what is good. The problem that we have in our modern society is there has been a blatant attempt to redefine that which is good as evil and that which is evil as good. And so you have people loving what society has called good, and in actuality, they are loving evil. And then you've got people who are loving what by nature is good, and society is labeling them lovers of evil. So I like to go back to this very simple definition that Jesus used. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So if we want an accurate measurement of morally good versus morally evil, the only place that we can go is back to the Word of God. So if a person says, well, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, that fails to factor in the reality that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the only way that we can go to heaven is not because we, you know, are a better person than the person to our right or the person to our left. The only way that we can go to heaven is we recognized our sinful condition, which isn't good, and asked Jesus to come in to change our hearts, change our minds, change our lives, change our direction to where we love much. Jesus said, if you have been forgiven little, you will love little, but if you have been forgiven much, you will love much. You will love what is good. The third attribute is to be sober-minded. And again, this is set in contrast to what was up a few verses before, where it says, not self-willed. To be sober-minded means to be a person who operates with wisdom, that they are prudent, and they are self-controlled as opposed to self-willed. And so I don't want anything compromising my mental faculties to where I cannot accurately control myself or recognize if my behavior is out of line with God's word. And so I've been pastoring the church on Grove and Tangerine, Merit Assembly of God. I've been pastoring that for over 3 decades. I've been doing the radio program here. We started in October of 2013. You can do the math and see that I'm not 30. It's very simple to, you know, conclude that. So a lot of times people will ask me, because my hair, when I was younger, it was very, very blonde. Then it became dishwater blonde, and now it's executive blonde. And people say, you know, have you given any thought to retirement? And I'm not to that age yet. And I will answer them this question, or I will answer their question this way. My only goal is I want to continue to serve God as long as I'm not an embarrassment to the gospel. And so what I have seen is that many times people can get to a stage in life where their recognition of boundaries is compromised because their mind is not operating at the same level that it did before, and then they can cross some boundaries, and then they end up doing harm to other people, harm to the kingdom. And I said, I don't want to do that. If my teaching and preaching ministry is not going to be, you know, sober-minded and reflect the wisdom of God and the nature of God and the truth of God, then I don't want to stick around because I don't want to be an embarrassment to my King. And that's much more important to me than anything else. And so that goes back to being a steward of God. I want people to come into the kingdom of God and know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just of the universe, but of their lives as well. The next positive attribute that is mentioned is that they are to be just. That means that they are a follower of God's word, of God's law, and can determine how God's law applies to a specific situation. And so a lot of times people will say things and it sounds very good. Well, God's word doesn't really address this particular situation. Okay. Well, what does God's word teach you in similar situations? Because the devil specializes in trying to get people to rationalize ungodly behavior and put it under the label of something that is approved by God. And so we have to figure out how to evaluate our own lives and live in alignment with God's law. And so to be a person that is just means that we judge equitably in accordance with God's will. And so that means that, you know, the scale should be accurate for me the same way that it is accurate for you. So I've had people who would tell me, you know, they would compliment me for one thing in their life, but they would not duplicate that same thing in their own life. And as a pastor, I can tell you that the standards of righteousness don't change for me because I'm a pastor. The standards are all the same for every believer. And so the more repentance and the more obedience that we have in our life to God's will means that He is continuing to bring us to that place where the just shall live by faith. So that's what we get to. We say we live by faith. And so we're not showing ourselves mercy and condemning someone else who does the same thing. I've done that, and man, God convicted me just as soon as the words came across my lips. I repented immediately it's like the Holy Spirit was waiting and said, remember how you had an attitude towards that person who just used those same words. And it's like, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. So I will tell you that whatever measure you use, will be good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. That speaks about forgiveness. It also speaks with about whatever life issue we live, that if we use a just measure, then God will be righteous and just and merciful and blessing and covenant with us. So make sure you live in alignment with God's word and know how to find out if a situation in your life, find out how God speaks about that. Don't just assume that God doesn't have anything to say. He's an expert in every field. He's an expert in every country. He's an expert in every life stage, male, female. He's an expert in it all. You want to make sure that you get God's God's wisdom for the specific situation. The next one is holy. Holy means that you are a person who is holy, set apart for God's purpose. You're trustworthy. You are godly. You live pleasing to God. You are a devoted believer. You are a person of integrity. You're a person that God can rely on. And it is a person who lives a life that is reverently dependent upon God. So we live dependent upon God. The only way that we can be holy is for God to make us holy. So he says, be holy even as I am holy. When I look at that situation, I don't look at holiness as optional. I don't look at it as the list of externals that was popular in the 50s and the 60s about your hair length and all of that sort of stuff. I don't look at that. And the behaviors that were taboo then are now permissible now, but there's a whole other list of behavior that's come on, and it should be, you know, recognized as unholy lifestyle. But, you know, if we're not careful, that standard can be diluted. I want to say, I want to recognize that when God speaks, be holy, that I respond the same way the universe did when he said, let there be light. And bam, there it was. That's how I want to respond. God is the person who can make me holy. So the next positive attribute is a person who is self-controlled. A person who is self-controlled. So I have been pretty successful in making some headway towards being more merciful to the scale when I step on it. I've still got a ways to go, but I've made pretty substantial progress. I've lost 20 pounds or so, and that's a good thing. And I found that there were some things that I was eating. It's not so much that I was eating a crazy quantity, but I was eating some things that my body was not responding to well. And so I had, and what happened was my physician said, we're going to need to give you a medication because you don't have any willpower in this area. And all of a sudden that was a challenge to my personality. And I said, I have shown you willpower before. I will show you willpower again. And so I have. And so I've modified the things that I put into my body. And it's not just the contents, but I've also modified the quantity. Before I made that change, this goes back a couple of years ago. My wife and I were sitting at home one night. We had eaten dinner. It was on the weekend, and we had eaten dinner very early in the afternoon, like 3 o'clock. And when it got closer to dinner time, she was hungry. I was hungry. And I suggested, hey, let's go grab a cheeseburger. And so we did. And I had a taste for a milkshake. And so we had cheeseburgers, and we had onion rings, and we had a milkshake. And my intent was to not eat everything all at one time. But I did. We shared the onion rings, if that makes you feel any better. But I did not exhibit any self-control. Like I say, this goes back a couple of years ago. I've made improvements since then. What happened as I was eating was I felt like I was still hungry, so I just kept eating until it was all gone. And about 15 minutes later, my stomach was saying, "What have you done to me? I don't have room for all of this." And it wasn't just, you know, a crazy abundance of food. It was just more than what I should have eaten. I didn't exhibit any self-control. And it was quite an unpleasant evening because my stomach was just getting started processing the food and I had put in a lot to process. And while I was dealing with that, I said, this is why gluttony is a sin, is because it's painful. It harms us. It doesn't serve us well. Our appetite is bigger than what our capacity is. And it would have been a whole lot better for me if I had exhibited self-control. But I learned that night that self-control was the much less painful option. It's self-control needs to impact us in the things that we eat, the things that we put into our body, the things that we do with our behavior. Self-control needs to manifest itself in our spiritual pursuits. It needs to say, you will not covet, you will not look to other people as the source of your provision in life. You will look to Jehovah Jireh, the God who supplies, the God who provides. That's what we've got to look to. There, if we continue to live by convenience, we will continue to make the mistakes we always make. But if we realize that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and self-control, one translation says, a sound mind, another translation says, we will live a much healthier, fruitful, and productive life. We will be the blessed of the Lord. Put these positive attributes to work in your life and bring glory to God. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Captive.